And so if you've got a copy of God's Word today, I invite you to turn with us the Gospel of Luke. Gospel of Luke in the New Testament, chapter number 9. Luke chapter number 9. And I'm going to begin reading this morning in verse number 18. Verse number 18, we find here Jesus having some special time along with His disciples. Those that were of that most inner circle. Those that dwelt with Him and lived with Him, walked with Christ along the journey there. And we find that we've come to chapter number 9 and verse number 18. Gospel of Luke. Let's stand this morning in honor and reverence for the reading of the Word of God. I believe it is perfect, it is precious, it is pure, and I believe we ought to hold it dear to our heart today. I want to preach to you this morning with the help of Almighty God on this thought for a few moments today on the thought of the marks of the cross. The marks of the cross. God has dealt with my heart on thinking on this thought, and I'm thankful for what He's done. I believe we're going to be a man of God. I believe for every father that's here, if you want to strive to be a father that God would have you to be, there needs to be some definite marks in your life. The Bible says in chapter 9, verse number 18, "And it came to pass, as He was alone praying, His disciples were with Him. And He asked them, saying, Whom say the people that I am? They answering said, John the Baptist. But some say Elijah, and others say that one of the old prophets is risen again. And He said unto them, But whom say ye that I am? Peter answering said, The Christ of God. And He straitly charged them and commanded them to tell no man that thing, saying, The Son of Man must suffer many things, and be rejected of the elders and chief priests and scribes, and be slain, and be raised the third day. And He said unto them all, If any man will come after Me, let him deny himself, and take up his cross daily, and follow Me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, but whosoever will lose his life for My sake, the same shall save it. For what is a man advantaged if he gain the whole world, and lose himself, or be cast away? And whosoever shall be ashamed of Me and of My words, of him shall the Son of Man be ashamed, when He shall come in His own glory, and in His Father's, and of the holy angels. But I tell you of a truth, there be some standing here which shall not taste of death till they see the kingdom of God." And you may be seated this morning. We find here that as Jesus is embarking on a new section of His ministry and the public display of His life here around the outskirts of Jerusalem and through the regions there, we find the Bible tells us in verse number 18 that it came to pass as He was alone praying. Well, I'm glad that we have an intercessor, aren't you? I'm glad that we have one that so desires to be such in touch and in tune with His Heavenly Father. And He allows Himself to be that go-between for you and I. But we find here, the Bible says that He was alone praying. I believe that Jesus was a man that whenever He found Himself in a state of solitude, whenever He allowed Himself to come to a time in which that He had a little bit, a few moments that He could slip away, and He would slip away in prayer, and He would devote Himself into having time alone with God. My friend, I believe that for you and I, men, that should be something that we should so hold dear to our own heart. That whenever we have an opportunity, that we ought to steal away in prayer. That we ought to have an opportunity and a time in our daily life that we devote ourselves to prayer. We find here that Jesus, as He was there, He was alone praying. And the Bible says there and teaches us in verse number 18 that it was a time of family prayer. Amen. The Bible says His disciples were with Him. Now we know that Jesus' mother, Mary, believed in Him. But yet those that were His earthly brothers, they did not have no faith in Him. They did not believe that He was whom that He said that He was. But we find that Jesus found a few men that He could find fellowship with. We find that He had a few individuals that He spent time with. And those disciples, those 12 apostles in which that He had called out and allowed themselves to be sent forth. We find that the Bible says that He was there praying with these men. The Bible tells us there in verse number 18, it says, "And He asked them a question, saying, Whom do the people say that I am?" And my friend, that is something that we need to be aware of this morning, as that whom do we say that Christ is? I believe for some folks, the mark of the cross is a mark of deception. We find the Bible tells us here that Jesus pointed out the question, and He says, "Whom do men say that I am?" And the Bible tells us there in verse number 19, it says, "They answering said, John the Baptist. Some say Elijah, and others say that one of the old prophets is risen again." My friend, we find that the Bible tells us, even in this account, that many people had many different perceptions as to whom Jesus really was. My friend, the day and time in which we live, we find that to be so even today. We live in a world in which that people think that Jesus Christ was a myth. Some believe, as it was referred to back in the 70s, that Jesus Christ is just another superstar. Hey, we believe that. Or we see that people believe and have different perceptions as to whom that Christ really is. They think that He's someone that was great, but He's no greater than Muhammad. They believe that He was a good teacher, but there's no difference between Him and Buddha. My friend, I believe that we are living in a day and a time, and we're living in a world in which many people are going to be separated from God for all eternity because the mark of the cross upon them is a mark of deception. They've been deceived. Some people believe that just because that they're born into a Christian home, that everything's all right between them and God. They believe that just because they go to a church, maybe it be a Methodist church or a Presbyterian church, it might be a good fundamental Baptist church in which we're in this morning. Some people believe that because they've been infant baptized in the name of Christ, that everything's all right, that they're going to go to heaven one day. But my friend, I'm here to tell you that that mark of the cross is a mark of deception. Some people believe that if they'll pray a rosary, some people believe if they'll go to a priest, some people believe that if they wear a crucifix around their neck, that everything's going to be all right between them and God one day. But let me tell you, that's a mark of deception, and us men, us fathers, us leaders in our home need not be deceived today as to whom Jesus truly is. We find the Bible here as Christ posed that question. They answered and said unto Him, when He asked, "Whom say the people that I am?" And the Bible says, they answered, said, "John the Baptist." Well, they might have said that since John has been beheaded, since he has lost his life, maybe this man is a reincarnate version of John the Baptist. The Bible says right there, but some say Elijah, that great Old Testament prophet. They believe that maybe this was the one that was to come, had been predicted and prophesied about. Others say one of the old prophets is risen again. But my friend, we find that those that were in that inner circle, everyone aside from Judas Iscariot, knew exactly whom that Jesus was, had placed their faith and trust in Him, had believed and acknowledged as to whom that Jesus truly was. And my friend, I believe that if we men are going to be the fathers, if we're going to be the husbands, if we're going to be the leaders in our home, in our community, and in our society that we need to be, we need to have a proper perspective as to whom that Jesus Christ truly is. The Bible tells us here in verse number 20, we find not only the mark of deception, but we also find the mark of determination. My friend, if there's any confusion within you this morning as to whom Jesus really is, I plead with you today, I beckon you today, I urge you this morning to make a determination as to whom Jesus Christ is unto you. The Bible says here in verse number 20, it says, "He said unto them, but whom say ye that I am?" My friend, we need to set aside the world this morning. Hey, we need to set aside our routines. We need to set aside our lives for a few moments here today that we might pose the question unto our life, whom do ye say that Jesus Christ truly is? Look what Peter said. I love this man. The Bible says in verse 20, it says, "He said unto them, but whom say ye that I am?" As He looked out across that motley crew, as He looked out across that band of men that Jesus had formed and brought together, He posed the question, "Whom say ye that I am?" And Peter stood forth, that strong, boisterous man, that man of men. We find the Bible says that he answered and said, "The Christ of God. Let me remind you this morning, there is no other answer that's going to stand the test of time than to acknowledge Jesus as being the Christ. I want to remind you this morning that Jesus is His name. It means Jehovah is salvation. He is the Yeshua Mashiach. He is the Messiah. He is the one that was to come. We find that Jesus is His name, but Christ is His title today. It means that He is the Anointed One. It means that He is the one that's been sent by God unto fallen mankind that He might provide a way of sacrifice, that He might provide a way of salvation, hey, that He might make a way that we could enter into an eternal relationship, hallelujah, with an almighty God. Hey, Peter stood up, stood forth and shouted and said, "You are the Christ of God." My friend, He is the Son. Amen. Hey, there's no other. Hey, the Bible says that He is the only begotten. That means He's the most unique. Hey, there's never been one fashioned like He has been fashioned. I want to remind you this morning that He was virgin born. I want to remind you this morning He's without spot, without blemish. I want to remind you today that He lived a faultless life. Never faltered, never failed, but lived His life all the way through for God, with God's help, that God might be glorified, and that Christ might be exalted, and that you and I might have a way of salvation. Hallelujah. Hey, Peter said He is the Christ of God. That's what He needs to be to us today. If He's not your Christ, if He's not your Messiah, if He's not your Savior, my friend, you need to acknowledge Him today. I urge you, the mark of the cross needs to be a mark of determination. The Bible says there in verse 21, "And He straightly charged them and commanded them to tell no man that thing." Now we wonder and we puzzle in our mind, why did Jesus not want anybody to know? Well, I believe the fullness of His ministry had not come to pass yet. Many believe that if these men had went out right then and started proclaiming that Jesus Christ was the Messiah, that He had come to set up the rule in the realm of an almighty God, that God was setting up His kingdom, and that there might have been a great uprising amongst the Jewish people, and there would have been chaos in Rome, we find that Jesus Christ said, and He was acknowledging here, that there is an appointed time that His ministry would be brought unto fulfillment. There would be an appointed time in which that His ministry would be broadcast wide and long for all the world to know. But the Bible says here that He straightly charged them. He admonished them. He charged them sharply and said, "You shall not say anything there." And then He said in verse 22, to assure us of this mark of determination, He says in verse number 22, the Bible says, "Saying the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected of the elders, the chief priests, and the scribes, and be slain and raised the third day." Hey, Jesus Christ is the Son of Man. Hey, He's 100% God, but He's 100% man. We studied last Wednesday night about the temptation of Christ. I want to remind you today that Jesus Christ felt every pain that you and I might feel. Hey, Jesus Christ suffered from hunger. He suffered from thirst. He suffered from affliction and pain. Hey, He's the Son of Man. He has likeness like you and I. My friend, He's not one that is unoblivious to what's going on in your life. Hey, Jesus Christ knows where you're at. Jesus Christ is concerned about what's going on within you. The Bible tells us right there in verse 22 that He is the Son of Man. And the Bible says that He must suffer many things. That suffer means to be affected. It means to feel. And it means to undergo. Jesus Christ can identify with you today. You say, "Preacher, don't nobody understand what's going on in my life. Don't nobody understand the temptation. Don't nobody comprehend the trial. Don't nobody know what I'm going through today." My friend, I might not have walked in your shoes. I might not understand everything. But my friend, I've got a Savior that knows. I've got a Lord that's concerned. I've got a Jesus that is wanting you to realize that today He's been there. He understands. He knows. My friend, that's why we've got to call upon Him. Hey, there needs to be a determination in our life as to whom that He is. He's the Son of Man. He suffered many things, the Bible says, and be rejected of the elders and the chief priests and the scribes. All those that held a position in the Judean culture there in that day, whether they were an elder, whether they were a priest, whether they were scribes, Jesus said, I will be rejected by them. And my friend, we find that as He was there in Jerusalem on that week of Passover in which He allowed Himself to be made the Lamb of God, we find that everyone of that day and time rejected Him. They did not want Him. They opposed the ministry and the work in which He was doing, and they rejected Him. And my friend, we need to realize that the Bible says there in verse 22, He says, and be slain. Hey, my friend, Jesus Christ was slain. That word slain that we find there in verse number 22, it means to kill and to destroy. It means to extinguish. It means to abolish. My friend, Jesus Christ allowed Himself to be hung there upon a Roman crucifix. He allowed Himself to be hung there between two malefactors. He allowed Himself to be hung there between two thieves. He took the cross of Barabbas that Barabbas might walk free and that Jesus might make Himself the sacrifice for all mankind. My friend, Jesus Christ is the Savior of the world. But my friend, the Bible says there that He spoke there in verse number 22, and He said, and be raised the third day. Amen? He said, just as Jonah was in the belly of the whale 3 days and three nights, so must the Son of Man be in the earth. My friend, I'm here to tell you that Jesus, we need to determine today that Jesus not only died, He not only suffered, He not only allowed Himself to wear that crown of thorns and receive those nails in His hands and His feet, but my friend, whenever He is placed in that barred tomb of Joseph of Arimathea, my friend, He did not stay there very long. He didn't make it His eternal abode. I'm thankful to say that He arose on the third day in victorious resurrection and allowed Himself to be made alive. Hey, I'm thankful for what that He did. Hey, we don't serve a dead Savior. We serve a victorious, risen Savior. And my friend, we need to determine our heart and our life today as to whom that Jesus is. My friend, He's the Christ. He's the Messiah. He's the Savior of the world. Hey, the mark of the cross, for some it's a mark of deception. For some it's the mark of determination. For some it's the mark of demonstration. Hey, my friend, we need not only know the facts, but we need to live the life in which God wants us to live. Jesus did not save us just to sit on a pew. Jesus didn't save us just to sit around and soak up the Word of God, but that we might live out in our daily life exactly what Christ would have us to be. The Bible says there in verse number 23, and He said to them all, if any man will come after Me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow Me. Now that's what it's all about. Hey, if we're going to truly be able to wear the marks of the cross, it needs to be through a daily demonstration of our life to allow a lost and dying world to know that, hey, Jesus can make a change. Jesus can do a work. Jesus can do a great, marvelous deed in our lives if we'll so allow Him. The Bible says there that He said in verse number 23, if any man will come after Me. To come means to come into being, to be established. Hey, if we're going to be established in anything, we need to be established in Jesus Christ. And to come afterwards means to follow Him. Hey, if anybody is going to follow Me, He says there in verse number 23, He says, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow Me. Now, I'll tell you what, there's sacrifice in Christian living. Hey, there's sacrifice in being a father. There's sacrifice in being a mother. There's sacrifice in allowing yourself to be one that can be a servant unto your family. My friend, there's sacrifice in the Christian realm. There's sacrifice in being a faithful follower of the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Hey, we need to allow ourselves to realize, hey, it ain't about us. It ain't about me. It ain't about you. It's about whether Jesus is being exalted in our daily life. The Bible says there, let him deny himself. To deny means to forget oneself, to lose sight of oneself and one's own interest. My friend, it ain't about what we want to do. It's about what God would have us to do. Hey, we wake up daily, and a lot of times we get our focus upon our own thoughts and our own agenda, and we say, we got to do this, 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 and this in this time frame and in this manner. Hey, but my friend, we need to sometimes take a back seat and allow ourselves to realize, hey, it ain't about doing all those things if we don't allow Jesus to be magnified in our life. Hey, sometimes we need to sacrifice. That's what ministry is all about. You say, but God didn't call me to preach. God didn't call me to teach. But my friend, in Romans chapter 12, verse 1, he says, I've called unto you to be a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God. That's for everybody that's been born again. That's for everybody that's trusted in Christ. That's for everyone upon whom God has imparted grace and mercy and love and whom has received the gift of eternal life. Hey, it's about sacrifice. And it ain't nothing to glory in. But the Bible says there in verse number 23, it says, if any man come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. Now, in the Roman world, a cross was nothing to be gloating about. Hey, that's the lowest form of execution that anybody could ever receive. It's the harshest punishment that anyone would ever be sent unto. Hey, in our day and time, it'd be like wearing an electric chair around your neck. Huh? It'd be like wearing a lethal injection around your neck. There's a lot of people gloating the cross. A lot of people wear a cross. Some of you ladies might have one around your neck this morning. Hey, and it ought to remind us as to what Jesus has done for us. But my friend, the cross in which that Christ is speaking of unto us today is different for everyone. Hey, it's a crucifix. It's a stake that's placed upon us. But the Bible says there in verse 23, it says, let him take upon his cross daily and follow me. My friend, we need to allow ourselves to take that which God has given us to bear. Hey, for somebody it might be some trial. For somebody it might be some temptation. For somebody it might be a heavy burden. For somebody it might be a heavy load. But my friend, I'll tell you what, I believe just as that one that was commanded to carry the cross of Jesus Christ up Golgotha's hill when Christ could not carry it by himself, but yet he had to have some assistance. You say, preacher, I can't carry a cross today. Preacher, I don't know if I can bear the burden in which I'm under. Let me tell you, Jesus will bear it with you. Christ will walk alongside of you. He'll carry His part of the load. You just got to place your faith and your trust in Him, my friend, and believe in Him all the way. Hey, He wouldn't call us to do anything that He wouldn't equip us to do. He won't call you to do nothing more than what that He's willing to do His very self. So we need to be reminded, hey, the mark of the cross is a mark of demonstration. The Bible says right there in verse 24, it says, for whosoever will save his life shall lose it. But whosoever will lose his life for my sake, some of the same shall save it. That save, as we see there in verse number 24, means to rescue from danger or destruction. It means to be delivered from judgment. Hey, I'm glad for the saving power of an almighty God. I'm thankful for His ability to deliver us from destruction. I'm glad that He's able to deliver us from an eternal perishing in the devil's hell. I'm glad that He allows us to be delivered from the flames of fire of an eternal condemnation, in eternal darkness, in a place that's full of weeping and gnashing of teeth. I'm thankful for what God can do for us. Hey, He's also able to deliver us from judgment. Amen. I'm thankful that I won't stand upon a great white throne at one day waiting to receive a judgment of condemnation, but that I'll be able to stand at that bema seat, the judgment seat of Christ, that God might cast down upon me a reward, that I might in turn return it unto Him and cast it at His precious feet. My friend, the Bible tells us here in verse number 24, for whosoever will save his life shall lose it. What does that mean, preacher? It means as soon as you place your faith and your trust in the work of Jesus Christ that's finished and paid in full, my friend, at that point in time, you shall quit living for yourself and start living for Him. You quit doing what you want to do and start doing what He would have you to do. I believe that's the reason that so many people fall out on God is because they realize, hey, there's going to be sacrifice in this. Hey, it's not going to be my way anymore. I need to allow Jesus to sit on the throne of my heart, my life. And so many people struggle with that. My friend, if we're going to be victorious Christians, if we're going to be the men of God that God wants us to be, we need to quit living for ourselves and start living for Jesus. The Bible tells us here in verse 24, it says, for whosoever will save his life shall lose it, but whosoever will lose his life for my sake, the same shall save it. My friend, if we'll just humble ourselves and live ourselves out as that sacrifice for God,
My friend, God will deliver us one day. I believe that's what the perseverance of the saints is all about. I believe those that are truly born again are going to live for Him and love living for Him and desire to serve Him every step of the way. And God will deliver you from destruction. He'll deliver you from temptation. He'll deliver you from an eternal judgment in a place of hell. We see that there's the mark of demonstration. Look with us in verse 25. The Bible says, "For what is a man advantaged if he gain the whole world and lose himself or be cast away?" What advantage is it? To what advantage? That word advantage means to be useful or advantageous. It means to profit. Hey, what good does it do if you profit and obtain everything that the world has to offer? That gaining that it's describing there in verse number 25 means to acquire or to get. Hey, I'll tell you what, you can get all the treasures in Fort Knox. You can have all the gold in them there hills. Hey, you can have everything in which the world has to offer. And there's so many people that spin wheels trying to earn this and trying to earn that. And that they might make up more money. And they might obtain more material possessions and greater wealth. But my friend, what would it gain? What would it profit you if you was to have everything that the world has to offer and lose your own soul? My friend, it'd gain you in a home and an eternal hell. My friend, there needs to be a walk in our life that we desire to serve God. Hey, we've been saved by grace through faith, not of ourselves, it's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast, but we're saved unto good works. And our good deeds should be not to serve ourselves, but it should be to serve an almighty God. Hey, that we can be what the Lord would have us to be. And what does He want us to be? He wants us to be ones that would save not only ourselves, but I believe we ought to have a desire to save our family as well. My friend, I believe there's so many men that spend so much time trying to do everything else, but they lose their own family. My friend, we ought not lose sight of what God would have us to do. Hey, sometimes it's hard to balance everything out. Amen? Sometimes it's hard to get everything accomplished. My friend, we need to have a heartfelt desire to serve God. Have a heartfelt desire to place Him first. I'll tell you what, God's always been faithful. Amen? And He'll continue to be faithful. And you might not know where the next bill is going to be paid from. Might not understand where the next food's going to come from. But I'll tell you what, if you're serving God and you put Him first in your life, God will make a way. Everything will be there. And so we find here the marks of the cross. For some, it's the mark of deception. For believers, it should be the mark of determination, the mark of demonstration, but also the mark of declaration. Look what the Bible says in verse 26. "For whosoever shall be ashamed of Me and of My words, of him shall the Son of Man be ashamed, when He shall come in His own glory and in His Father's and the holy angels." My friend, we need not be ashamed of whom Jesus is. That shame means to feel shame, to feel that sense of unworthiness, to feel that feeling that we of fright, and to feel that feeling of not wanting to own up as to whom that we acknowledge as being Lord of our life. Hey, there's certain instances and certain times in our life. There's certain peer groups that you might find yourself involved with. There's certain people that you might find yourself associating with. And my friend, they do not acknowledge Jesus. They don't want to allow Him to be exalted. And sometimes that feeling of shame, the old devil and the world and the flesh will put that upon us. But Jesus Christ says right here that we need not be ashamed of Him. My friend, why should we be ashamed of a Savior that saved us from hell? Why should we be ashamed of a Lord that allowed us to be brought forth and to be resurrected on that glorious day? Why should we have any type of shame upon our being? The Bible says, "For whosoever shall be ashamed of Me and of My words, of him shall the Son of Man be ashamed when He shall come in His own glory." My friend, we need not be ashamed of Jesus, because if we're ashamed of Jesus, He'll be ashamed of us. My friend, we need not allow Him to be ashamed of us, but we need to live in our daily life declaring and allowing the world to know that Jesus saves. My friend, we need to be the men of God that God wants us to be, carrying that cross all the way until that day in which we depart and leave this world. Whether it be on that glorious day of rapture, amen, and that glorious day, the Bible says here in verse number 26, it says, when He shall come in His own glory and in His Father's glory and also the glory of the holy angels. Hey, that glory means a visible manifestation in which God is going to allow to be brought forth on a glorious resurrection day. Hey, I'll tell you what, we're going to be able to see all of His beauty, going to be able to see all of His brightness, going to be able to see all of His splendor, going to be able to stand in His majesty, allowing ourselves to behold that glory of Jesus, the glory of an Almighty God, and the glory of those holy angels that are serving the Most High. The Bible tells us there in verse 26 that we need not be ashamed of our Lord. Hey, I'm looking forward to that day. The Bible says there in verse number 27, but I tell you of a truth, there shall be some standing here which shall not taste of death till they see the kingdom of God. My friend, and that word is true unto us today. Hey, there's maybe somebody here in this crowd today that might depart from here this week. Maybe somebody here in this crowd, we don't know, huh? We don't know how many days we have left. But I'm here to tell you, there may be some that's going to be here on the day in which Jesus returns. On the day in which He comes forth in that eastern sky, rapturing earth up His church, catching them up, calling them up, to gather them up into the clouds. My friend, we may not know. But I'll tell you, I believe that today we need to be living our life in accordance to God's rule. That's what kingdom really means. It means the rule and the realm of a sovereign God. And we need to allow ourselves to be under His lordship. Men, I encourage you, live by the cross. Live up to what God has beckoned unto us through His Son, Jesus. Admonish Him. Live for Him. Exalt Him. Glorify Him in all that you can, and all that you will, and all that you do. Every head bowed and every eye closed this morning.